It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. So glad you're here. And I'm so glad that we have this very special guest today. He is at age 40. He retired as a corporate vice president in mergers and acquisitions in national banking. He completed over 100 transactions consistently every year in real estate without a sales team or an assistant. Basically, no marketing costs. This guy's all about maximizing profit. He's traded over 5,000 investment properties in less than 5 years. Five real estate holdings. Five is a big number for this guy. Five real estate holding companies owning more than 250 rental units, which is 5 times 50. He's a self-made multimillionaire by holding and building real estate enterprises, including brokerage firms, rental management, investment services. He's the author of 7 real estate investment books. This guy's a superstar. And welcome to the show, Gary Wilson. Hey, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. Hang on, let me get my head back down to earth here for a second. Okay, I'm ready.
Well, so good. Hey, listen, we had such a good conversation on your podcast. I thought it would be great for the Wealth Architect Podcast listeners and viewers to have you back on, because you are such a humble guy and you provide so much value that I thought, wow, man, this would be such a great guest to have on. So thank you for being on, and I really appreciate it. So let's get the conversation started. Maybe you can give us a quick background or a quick story, maybe about a minute or so about you, just to tell us who we're listening to.
Sure. Well, just briefly, when it comes to my mindset and all the programming I had, when I was little, my dad's side of the family, they were wealthy, multi-generational wealth, farmers, merchants, you know, trust accounts, all that kind of stuff you used to seeing when associated with wealth from that era. And then my mother's side of the family were W-2 regular employees, no plan, month to month. I mean, Social Security was going to be the saver. So I had all this, the programming was like contradictory. And it took me a lot of years to unscramble that. But what happened, I was going to give it just briefly. College freshman year, we go to orientation. I meet this kid named Socrates. We hit it off like, you know, best, like blood brothers. And we're like, hey, man, we got to be roommates. So we became roommates, best friends. We graduated. It was his dad. His dad was a Greek immigrant. He told us, he said, you're not going to rent. You're going to buy. And you're going to buy a house that's going to make you some money. Of course, I'm like, I'm all in. So he showed us in January 1986, when interest rates were still high, how to assume a mortgage, basically do creative financing. We had 3 mortgages on this property. Hmm. We house hacked it. We leased out the other 2 bedrooms to 2 other guys whose rents pretty much paid all of our debt. It was an amazing experience. And the rest, they say, is history. After that, that was my big lucky break, Mark, you know?
It's usually one pivotal moment, Gary, that makes or breaks something in whatever we do, right? So yeah. We get lucky, or we meet somebody, or we have a mentor, we happen to stumble into something, and all of a sudden it's like that old game of asteroids, right? You're going through space, and all of a sudden you hit an asteroid and you go off in this one direction. Whereas if you never hit that rock, you might've gone off in a totally different direction. So your direction was a triple mortgaged piece of property that paid for itself with a couple of roommates. So congratulations. And that led to all these other great things that you've done. So let's kind of jump into it. What are one or two topics that you want to cover for the audience today?
Well, one of them is definitely synergy, leveraging the activities you're already engaged in to generate multiple streams of income. We all hear multiple streams of income, absolutely, you know, paramount in success, financial success, but how do you actually achieve that? What I don't recommend is to go off and buy pizza parlors and beauty shops and auto garages, things that are totally unrelated. What I advocate is sticking with something that you know, stick in a genre or a sector that you can really focus on, and those activities will be much more easily leveraged. That's one of the things I want to talk about. Another one is some of the exit strategies we're using now in our real estate investments. We're evolving as the world's changing, the economy's changing. We have to continually be on the front and the cutting edge of what's happening so that we're maximizing profits and minimizing expenses and risk reduction. Those are the two main categories. Yeah.
Okay, so you're running a business, but you also need a good form of leverage. And you're talking about something, you just mentioned something that I always talk about, and that's I don't believe in the way Wall Street talks about diversification. I don't think you need to own 500 different stocks or 10 different mutual funds or 40 different bonds. Like, I think you diversify among asset classes and you concentrate within asset classes. So you touched on that. You said you shouldn't own a beauty parlor and a strip mall and a car wash and apartments. Like, you should really focus on something so you can get really good at it. Tell us a little bit more about that. And do people make mistakes by doing that? And what happens if they do?
Yeah. Well, early on, I raised my hand. I admit I made some mistakes early on because I thought, my gosh, I'm doing really good at this real estate stuff. What happened is I was 22, actually just turned 23 when Stock and I bought that house. 2 years later, I got married and made the crazy move of moving from Virginia Beach, Virginia to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and doing well in the corporate world. I was working in mergers and acquisitions, and 10 years go by, I'm like thinking, what if I had done what Stockstad had taught me? Because he told us, he said, if you boys do what I tell you, you won't have to work for anyone else when you're 35 years old. We bought boats and cars, all kinds of fun stuff, and I got married. In any case, 35 years old, I started investing, all right? And I was successful. I thought, well, I can do more, because I was buying properties that had a garage, for example, and had a beauty shop. And I thought, how hard is this? You're washing somebody's hair, you cut the hair, you dry the hair. I don't know anything about cutting hair, but the lady was in there did.
Neither.
And I thought, so I'll buy that business and I'll buy the garage. Knew nothing about those businesses, no passion for it. So I wasn't paying attention to them. The real estate was doing fine, but the businesses were struggling because I didn't have any, there was no alignment in it for me. You know what I mean? I just wasn't. Yeah. You got to have some, a little bit of drive and some interest in whatever business you're in. Otherwise, you're going to get bored and probably not pay attention to it. And that's when the bad things start to happen. Now, fast forward, I realize if I focus just on the real estate, whatever I'm doing is associated with real estate. So going forward, I did build other businesses. I had a property management business, a title business, title insurance for property, the brokerage business, of course, and an appraisal business. And get this, Mark, we were actually literally at the 11th hour one night, I pulled the plug on our big plan we were going to start our own bank, our own lending business,
okay,
an actual commercial bank. And this was in 2009, and Congress was rewriting all the rules about lending and appraisals and all that. We already had an appraisal business. And at the 11th hour, I just had this gut call, Mark. I said, you know what? I told the guys, I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. I was the main person. I said, I'm pulling out. I'm pulling the plug on this. We're not going to do it. Thank goodness I listened to my instinct, because the laws did change. And because of our brand new appraisal business, well, a year or two old, we would have suffered dramatically. We would have never been getting off the ground. So I decided to stick with the real estate brokerage and management. Sold the title company, sold the appraisal company. And when I did that, Mark, my brokerage business grew sixfold in 3 years, literally doubled 3 years in a row. And my holdings also doubled. My actual personal holdings doubled. So the key was to focus, definitely diversify. I liked having the service business that's throwing off a lot of cash flow, right? And as you throw off cash flow, you look at the world of business valuations, they use something called multiples. The multiple goes up, the better you're performing. And then in the asset side, the holding side, I had all these properties that were, people were exiting the business and I'm gobbling up properties like it was Christmas time, So it was just a perfect storm. And thankfully I suffered a few blows early on that prepared me mentally for that. And it ended up not being a stressful situation, ended up being a very profitable situation as a result.
So what'd you learn from that? What would you say are your solutions to those issues that people can sometimes get sucked into? You had a story there where you kind of used your intuition, but I don't know if that's a lesson. What do you think are your lessons or solutions?
Yeah, as far as lessons go, the main thing, boy, everybody listen here. I mean, write this down if you're not driving. The real key to solution, the formula, it starts with education. Number one, you've got to have the right education.
Yeah.
Number two, then you've got to have the right information. And the cool thing is, Mark, is the right education often shows you how to get and use the right information. Kind of neat how that works out. Then you're more likely to take right action, and that's what equals the right results. So I learned to slow myself down, and before I jump into anything like a beauty shop or a garage or whatever, I would study and learn and talk to other people and gather information get in, I would ask them these kind of questions. Say, hey, what, I would ask them, here's my favorite question. I would ask them, what question am I not asking that you think I should really be asking? I'd also ask them, what are their habits, the daily habits, the people that were succeeding? I'd also ask them, what's the worst case scenario, best case scenario? You know, we get all that information. So I'm not just reading a textbook. I'm actually getting a real world insight into whatever it is I'm looking to do. That's probably one of the most important things I could ever suggest to anybody, you know?
Yeah. So podcast listeners and viewers, what Gary is saying is that number one, you need to focus. And number two, you really need to do your due diligence. Like, you got to check stuff out. And when we do investments, what I always say is when emotions go up, intelligence goes down, because you make emotional decisions and you're usually not the best. So it's probably better to have it go the other way, higher intelligence, which means step back, take your time, figure out what's going on before you jump in and put your money behind it. And then, like another saying that I say, you'd rather be out of an investment wishing you were in than in an investment wishing you were out. Am I right on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I apologize. So on a practical standpoint, anybody looking at buying real estate as an income producing asset, you absolutely want to do thorough due diligence. And I mean, guys, literally to the degree that you don't just get the leases and read the leases thoroughly, but you also get what's called an estoppel letter from all the tenants in the property. And you even go forward and rent the rent rolls. We would require that the current owner certify the rent rolls. So if it turns out later on, we discover some inconsistencies, we have legal recourse. Hey, the owner certified these things. We were told these were true and accurate. Here's the signature.
For the listeners and podcast viewers that have not heard of real estate transactions that involve tenants, can you just explain really quickly what an estoppel letter is?
Yeah, estoppel letter is really, you're looking to validate. So I'll just put it in plain language. So the owner gives us information, rent rolls that tell us per unit and per tenant, how much they're paying per month, what their record of payment is, what their rental amount is, and what the deposit is, all the details related to that lease. And then what we're doing is that we're going to the tenant with a letter saying, here's the terms as we understand them according to the lease. Can you please confirm or deny this? That's a plain language. That's essentially what an estoppel letter is, you know?
Okay, thank you.
So thank we you. Would do a lot of that work, Mark. I mean, and if we didn't get what we wanted as far as the due diligence, you know, 3 years of profit and loss, we'd even ask for the portion of tax returns related to those income producing properties. And if we didn't get them, we would simply say no. I mean, it's painful because we're potentially looking at a really good deal, but you know what? If the owner doesn't have the kind of information, either they're hiding it or they're really dumb because they're not running it well. And we don't want to take on a major headache and have all these unforeseen problems. I mean, that problems take money to solve.
Yep.
You know, when we're in the business of making money.
So, yeah. I could tell you that once I bought a piece of property with a partner, I don't know, probably about 12, 13 years ago, I probably timed it perfectly right at the top of the market. And I got a stop of letters and I bought that property right at the top of the market. And as soon as the market crashed, I lost every tenant. Didn't matter how many estoppel letters I had, they were all gone. So I was left holding the bag with a vacant piece of property. It kind of scarred me in real estate. I still believe everybody should own some real estate because there's lots of benefits to owning real estate, cash flow, depreciation, other phantom income, appreciation, capital gains, and certainly, you know, passive income, which we always talk about. But at the same time, it's not my favorite way because of its lack of liquidity. And, you know, there are periods of time like in 2007 and 8 where things crash and you can't get your money out, and maybe you're upside down because you're over leveraged. So, you know, real estate's a great component of that pie, but I believe you should own some businesses or you should have a cash cow and or both where you're, you know, you're a career person and you're making a good amount of cash to put it into investments. I simply should believe that you should be making cash flow from your investment. Specifically, what I teach is people to make cash flow from the stock market. And then, you know, I also believe in having some kind of tech assets. So ownership assets is the stock market, and tech assets is, I think, this new technology like cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin specifically, you should have a little bit in there. But that's the kind of diversification, going back to the top of the call, that we were talking about, is to have, you know, good quality assets in different categories. Not that they offset each other, but so you can concentrate and really grow your wealth in them.
Yeah.
But within that category, really know what you're doing. Going back to that word focus that you said before, right?
Yeah. And I want to also, I appreciate you bringing that up, Mark, because I want to let everybody know, I also do invest in the stock market and crypto. So when I was talking about really focusing, it's like whatever your main thing is. So if you're a dentist, for example,
yes,
buy other dental practices. If that's your 9 to 5, how you actually generate revenue, but you should absolutely have other assets like stocks and bonds, perhaps, and crypto. And then what I learned to do is if you have businesses that you own, you can, as long as they're properly structured, it's like a dentist would have an S-corp, for example, that's an asset also, an income producing asset that you can borrow against. You can get a commercial business, a line of credit against that business. And as long as you use it to buy another business, and if you structure your real estate holdings properly in the form of a business like LLC, then you can do that. It's perfectly legal, legitimate. And now you're really leveraging all three. You've got your business that's generating cash flow, you've got your property generating cash flow, and you've got your stock market / crypto generating cash flow. And you can leverage all three with each other and for each other and kind of play that rotation. And I'm not saying time the market. Mark, you're probably much better at that stuff than I am. But when you recognize what's happening, think strategically. How can I best utilize my assets? Maybe I'll pull some out of here and put it over here. Maybe I'll borrow from this one to buy more of that over there. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Got it. Yeah, great. And that's instructive. And it's also part of your formula of what's made you successful, right? So absolutely. What else do you want to talk about? I know you have some networks and resources that you probably want to mention. So let's open that up and talk about it a bit.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is how life evolves. So I my brokerage business years ago, I merged it with another big company because I learned I love to build things, Mark. I love to build businesses, but I don't love to manage them. But not knowing a lot about that, I thought, well, I'm going to do a merger. So I got a good multiple, by the way, and I got paid. In fact, I still get paid for that. That led me to teaching all over the country. And where I used to teach investors how to invest, and I still do that privately. I don't actually take on a lot of private clients anymore because it's time consuming. It is rewarding, but it's time consuming. Yeah. My businesses are just producing so much more. It doesn't make sense for me to coach privately like I used to. But in any case, that led to me teaching over 1,000 classes over like a 5 or 6 year period. And now all those people I taught, actually not all of them, but I approached them. I said, look, I'm going to build a national team of real estate agents that invest themselves and or like to work with real estate investors. And we did it. We haven't even been at it for 2 years. And we're already in like 26 states, 145, I think, agents. And it grows daily. And the cool thing is, Marcus, these are not your typical everyday agents. We literally call them investor agents. They have to be certified. We actually certify them.
Really?
And here's the cool part. They understand the real estate investor psychology. It's different than the owner-occupant person buying their own home. It's a different motivation. So these guys have the tools, the strategies, and access, just this out, access to every single parcel of property in the country. It doesn't matter if it's residential, commercial, industrial, every single piece. We have the owner information. So what's cool about this is they actually are a good team member. They actually can help you. You don't even have to pay for it, So we did start another group called GIA, Global Investor Agent Team. Global Investor Group is a group of investors about 3,000 strong across the country. And we're going to probably be ramping that up here this year because we got so busy with the team. I mean, we're the team in and of itself is basically, it's one of my best business models I've ever created. So the focus, of course, is on that because we're going with the fast horse, right, in a race. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been doing. But we recognize we need to get back to the global investor group, because coming into this next correction, and I can't tell you when it's going to happen. I just feel like mathematically it's bound to happen.
Yeah,
we need to prepare for that and prepare our clients so that they don't get nervous and scared. They listen to guys like you and potentially me when it comes to their investing strategies and think rationally. Like you said before, don't think emotionally, think intellectually. So that's where we're at right now, Mark. We're kind of getting back to the global investor group to get that up and running again. It's not that it's been quiet. We're serving them, but we're serving them on a one-on-one basis. We're not doing group events and things like that like we should. So, with the team, boy, they're rock stars. Check this out. We're literally outperforming NARS, the National Association of Realtors, our team is outperforming the NAR average by 2-1.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, these guys are good. That's incredible. I handpicked them. I mean, it's, you know, I knew every one of them, and we get calls every week from people wanting to join, and I interview them and screen them and vet them, and I tell them right up front, I said, look, this is not like any other brokerage company. It doesn't, you're not just going to get in here because you walked in the door. You've got to actually, this is a privilege. It's not a right, you know, and then some of them we unfortunately turn away, and but the ones we keep for the most part, they're rock stars, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, Gary, this has been fantastic. And in a couple of seconds, I'm going to ask you about a resource that our audience can get. And I want you also to be thinking for just a second about an action that our audience can take right away to start on their path, if they're not already on their path to creating wealth and to creating things like you have done. But first I want to take just a quick break to thank our sponsors. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. All right, we're back with Gary Wilson, and Gary just finished breaking down a couple of different really interesting things that he's got going on. But Gary, like, where are you in telling people what they should be doing right now if they want to take one action or one step to make their lives better in the wealth department? What would you say?
Okay, well, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I'm based on what I'm seeing, you know, inflation's up and mortgage interest rates are up. Last year at this time, they were 3%. Now they're close to 6%. You've got this deal going on in Ukraine. And of course, the housing market is obviously overheated and has been for a while now. I'm not saying history is going to always predict the future, but let's face it, everybody. While the circumstances may change in every business cycle, the fundamentals are always the same. And the fundamentals are telling me, plus if you look at the stock market this year, right? It's all there. I mean, it's like, why would you ever ignore the facts? So my suggestion is prepare. If you have real estate assets that you've been thinking about selling, man, I'd sell them today, you know, if you really need to sell them. But if you don't, get ready to hang on them for quite a while. And the good news is if they're income producing, their rents will likely go up. That's what happens. It's crazy in a recession.
Because of inflation.
Exactly. So you need, I would say make an assessment. Do like your own internal SWOT analysis, your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats on your own assets. If you need help doing that, just reach out. Mark, I do that. That's one of my practices when I take on clients. I said, I'm going to do a SWOT first and see, we're taking an inventory of your assets. What do you have? Asset could be intelligence. An asset could be money. An asset could be properties. And, you know, whatever strength they bring to the table, we look at that. Then we figure out where does they want to go. And then we develop the course of action. I would not hesitate, guys, because the last recession, if you remember, at the beginning of August of 2007, everybody's feeling good. By the end of August, everybody's feeling bad. It was fast. And in the next 3 months, wiped out wealth like I've never seen before in Florida and Arizona and California. The mortgage brokers, one third of them evaporated in 3 months. So this is not the kind of thing to take lightly. You'll just be serious about it and pull up your working boots and do that work. That's what I would do right now.
You know? Back to basics. Gary Wilson says strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Good stuff, Gary. Where do people go to find out a bit more about Gary Wilson?
The easiest thing to do, I've got a couple of websites, but the easiest thing to do, I would say go to globalinvestoragent.com. Now, that one's geared towards the agent, but the reality is if you're an investor, you can go on there and find yourself an agent in any area you want to invest in. Remember, in 26 states, but more importantly, there's a little thing you can click on and leave your name, email, and phone number. That's it. And we'll actually set up a call. And I'd love to speak with you. I mean, chances are we'll match you up with one of the agents, or if you just want to do a Gary Wilson SWOT analysis, we can do that. But let's start there, and that's probably the easiest, fastest thing to do.
Hey, Gary, thank you for that. Globalinvestoragent.com. Don't agents also have like the kind of the inside scoop, like pocket listings, and sometimes yes. they find out about things before the rest of the market does?
Well, especially our guys, because we specialize in off-market deals. We do the on-market stuff like everybody else.
Yeah.
But we have certain tools and strategies where we, you know, we can definitely eliminate competition by doing these off-market deals. Absolutely.
Wow. Cool. All right. So here comes a couple of questions that I like to ask everybody. If you could have coffee or tea with anybody, past or present, who would it be and what would you talk about?
Wow. Well, for me, first, I could probably name 12 people. I would start with Jesus, because of the with the wisdom in the Bible. Like anybody, whenever somebody says, I'm going to read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, and I'm going to read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad, and awesome books. Those are in my top five. Those probably my top three.
Sure.
But all those lessons, what I learned was, and I actually studied the Bible, Mark, through academically studied it, you know, and all the business lessons that you need to know, guys, all come from the Old Testament, some of them from the New Testament. So get familiar with it. Lots of wisdom in there. There's actually a book called The Book of Wisdom.
That's so true.
Jesus is, there's, I'm not going to profess any particular religion here or spirituality. I'm just telling you that the man did live, and all the, you know, Buddhism is the only exception, but the Nation of Islam, you know, the Gita, the Indian religion, Judaism, Jewish and Christianity, of course, all have core teachings in common.
Yep.
And those are in the Bible, and Jesus taught that. So if I could just sit with him for a day, man, I would do it. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah. The values that are taught in many of the religions are common.
Yep.
And they make common sense, actually. And if we could stick to some of those values, whether you're religious or not, the values are there for us to be a better human beings individually and collectively. So if you could leave us with one piece of advice, Gary, what would that be?
Well, I would say it's really easy to get, to let your head be in the sand with all the preponderance of information out there, the internet. You turn on your cell phone, stuff pops up. You turn your computer, stuff pops up. You know, it's easy to get numb and ignore these things. But what I would tell you guys is some of these things you really need to pay attention to and take seriously. So what I would say is be present, be awake, alert. And when you see something that's like, okay, wait a second, that looks like something to pay attention to, trust your instinct and pay attention to it and take action. That's the all this leads to taking action. You cannot sit idle. The worst thing you can do is do nothing. You have to take some action. And do it. When you feel that gut calling you, do it, you know?
Wow. Gary Wilson, thank you. It's always a pleasure to connect with you, my friend. And people want to find out a bit more about you, they go to globalinvestoragent.com. Am I right on that?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks, good.
Mark. And Mark, well, good to see you too, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Let's leave everybody on this note, which is what I always tell everyone. And that's never give up your power in your health or your wealth or your time. See you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yagi. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.